Zach Drummond didn't show up at 5:15. 5:30 saw me fretting because the beetle wasn't done, and I'd promised it would be finished at 8 the next morning.
Go home, Mercy.
Tad was on his back, working on the undercarriage of the beetle.
Another hour and I'll have it buttoned up and done.
If I stayed, it would shave 15 minutes off.
Go home. Don't let that bitch steal your man without a fight.
You don't even know her.
Tad slid back out from under the car, more oil-colored than not. Ears sticking out a little, his face just this side of homely, by his choice. His father was Zeebold Adalbert Spider. Tad's mother had been human, but his father's blood had gifted him with glamour and, from things he'd said, a fair bit of power.
I know you. I'm betting on you. Go home, Mercy. I'll get it done.
He'd been working in the shop when he was just a kid. He might be 13 years younger than me, but he was at least as good a mechanic.
Okay.
In the oversized bathroom, I stripped out of my overalls and scrubbed up. The harsh soaps that cut through the grease and dirt have never bothered my skin, which is good because I use them a lot. Not even industrial soap could get out all the ingrained dirt I had on my hands, but my skin tones hid most of that. A glance in the mirror had me unbraiding my hair. I ran a comb through it. Braiding it when it was wet gave it a curl it didn't have normally. Nothing was going to turn me into a girly girl, but the curls softened my appearance a little. I finally made my way to the garage door.
Hey, Mercy?
Tad was back under the beetle.
When Adam's ex drives you into making sweet things with chocolate, just remember I like my brownies with lots of frosting but no nuts.
The smell of bacon and sound of sizzling meat permeated the entire house. Adam, Jesse, and I shared kitchen duties, taking turns making dinner. Tonight was supposed to be Jesse's night, but I wasn't surprised that the only person in the kitchen was Christy. Her back was to me as she cooked in the kitchen she'd designed.
She'd been angry, her daughter had told me, that Adam had insisted on moving all the way out to Finley instead of building in one of the more prestigious neighborhoods in West Richland or Kennewick.
He'd given her free rein in the house to make up for the fact that he'd wanted the house next to my trailer because Bran, who ruled all the wares in this part of the world, had told him to keep an eye on me. In addition to ruling hundreds and maybe thousands of werewolves, Bran had been the alpha of the pack my foster father, Brian, had belonged to. That had occasionally left Bran with delusions that he had a right to interfere with my life, long after I'd left Montana and his pack behind. Christy was shorter than me by a couple of inches, about the same size as Jesse. The body in the blouse and peasant skirt was softly curved. Her hair, brown, when I'd last seen her, was now blonde-streaked and French braided in a thick rope that hung to her hips.
Could you find me some paper towels, Jesse?
She didn't bother to turn around.
They've been moved, and I have bacon ready to come out of the frying pan.
I opened the cabinet that held the paper towels exactly where she probably had put them on the day she first moved in. I hadn't changed the organization of the kitchen. Too many people were already using it, so it made more sense for me to learn where everything was than for me to reorganize it to my tastes. So Christy's kitchen was exactly as she'd left it, still hers in spirit, if not in truth. Her presence in my kitchen felt like an invasion in a fashion that the Grey Lord who'd been here in the wee hours of the night had not, despite his intentions. Christy knew I wasn't Jesse. I could smell her tension. But that was sort of cheating, so I didn't call her on it. Also, accusing her of lying right off the bat didn't seem like a good way to make peace with her.
Paper towels.
I set them down on the counter beside the stove. Christy turned to look at me, and I saw her face.
Holy Hannah.
I was entirely distracted from my territorial irritation.
Tell me you shot him or hit him with a 2x4.
She didn't just have a shiner. Half her face was black, with that greenish-brown around the edges that told you it hadn't happened in the last 24 hours. She gave me a half-smile, probably the half that didn't hurt.
Would a frying pan be okay? Not as effective as a baseball bat, but it was hot.
I would accept a frying pan.
I indicated the side of my face that corresponded to her damaged cheek with my fingers.
This from the guy you're running from?
It wasn't my Aunt Sally.
You go to a doctor with that?
She nodded.
Adam made me go. The doctor said it would heal okay. He gave me a prescription for pain meds, but I don't like to take prescriptions. Maybe tonight if I can't sleep.
The front door opened, and I didn't have to back out of the kitchen to see who it was. Adam had a presence I could feel from anywhere in the house.
Hey, honey! I've got BLTs going on the stove. They'll be done in about 10 minutes if you want to go upstairs and get cleaned up.
She glanced at me.
Oops. Sorry. Just habit.
No worries.
As if she hadn't bothered me at all when she'd called my husband by an endearment. Then I could have shot myself because I saw the satisfaction in her face. My reaction had been too controlled to be real, and she'd caught it.
Maybe you could set the table?
As if it was still her kitchen, her house to rule. I need to get out of these clothes. You should ask Jesse to set the table since you took over her job tonight. We might have one more for dinner, a new wolf in town. I left before she could reply. Any luck hunting down the guy who hit her? Once Adam and I were safely up in our bedroom, I stripped off my clothes. Even though my overalls absorbed most of the mess of mechanicking, the clothes I wore under them reeked of oil and sweat.
No, it's not that we can't find people named Juan Flores, it's that there are too many Juan Floreses. John Smith would be easier, though it helps that he doesn't look like most Juan Floreses. He's around 6 feet tall with blonde hair. He said his English was good. He has an accent, but she doesn't think it was Mexican or Spanish, despite his name.
She met him in Eugene? Adam shook his head.
Reno. She was out partying with some friends. He was a friend of a friend, rich, with cash, not just credit cards. He talked about Europe like he was very familiar with it, but he didn't tell her if he was living there or if he just traveled there a lot.
Cash means real money, not just someone pretending to be wealthy.
Probably.
Did she call the police when he hit her?
She called them before he broke into her apartment and started hitting her. He left when he heard the sirens, though it might have been the frying pan she hit him with.
I did my best not to flinch. Of course he was proud of her. It takes guts to fight back effectively after a hard hit to the head.
The police didn't have any better luck than I'm having running the name he gave her.
Adam stripped off his tie and unbuttoned the cuffs from his dress shirt impatiently.
Later that night, someone mugged the man she went out with after she returned to Eugene, broke his neck, and took off with his wallet. She's sure it was Flores, that stealing his wallet was just a cover. The police are undecided, but told her that she might find somewhere else to be while they ran down their leads.
If her boyfriend is responsible, he kills pretty competently. I pulled on clean jeans, which were in a drawer with a stack of other clean jeans. I'd gotten used to keeping my clean clothes folded in drawers and dirty clothes in a hamper in the closet. Adam had gotten used to calling me when he was going to be late from work. I had learned that it was those things, compromise in the form of phone calls and folded clothes, that cemented the bedrock of a relationship. I wondered what habits Adam and Christy had left over from their marriage.
I thought so too.
Adam was unaware of the twist of my thoughts.
My sources say that the kill was clean. Not so clean, it couldn't have been an accident, but unusual in a mugging, especially in Eugene, which isn't exactly a hotbed of that kind of crime. So, maybe he spent some time in the military?
Or as an assassin or a crime lord. Adam pulled on a faded green t-shirt that said, "I Heart Coyotes," yet another sign that folding my clean clothes wasn't too big a price to pay to make him happy. He didn't have any I Heart Christy shirts, or I would have burned them already.
You have an overactive imagination,
says the werewolf. Instead of my usual after-work t-shirt, I changed into a fitted shirt in a shade of lavender that looked good against my skin and showed off the muscles on my arms. Christy wouldn't know that it was any different from what I usually wore. I didn't have her soft curves, so I'd emphasize what I did have. You got my text about Zach Drummond, right? The lavender contrasted nicely with my brown skin. Maybe I should put on eyeshadow? Seems like a nice guy. Thought walkers like me were a myth. Adam grinned at me.
I think you're pretty special, too.
I kissed his cheek and rested in his arms for a moment before I broke away to find socks and shoes. No eyeshadow. Christy wouldn't know I didn't wear makeup unless we were going out, but everyone else would. I usually went barefoot in the house, too, but with Christy in the kitchen, bare feet felt too vulnerable.
Warren's coming over tonight to grill Christy about her stalker and see if he can learn anything useful.
Good. Cool. Warren had been working as a private detective for a while. He was smart about people, and he'd gotten good at finding secrets. But that wasn't why I was pleased. Warren was my friend, and Christy didn't like him. That left dinner tonight stacked in my favor. Not that I really thought I needed the advantage. Adam and I had just made it to the bottom of the stairs when Christy dodged past us.
I invited Mary Jo to join us for dinner.
I decided that I was going to have to get rid of the chip on my shoulder, or the next week or so was going to be unbearable. Christy cooked dinner. She was welcome to invite anyone to dinner, especially one of the wolves, who had a standing invitation to the Alpha's table at any time anyway. Mary Jo was Christy's friend. Christy was acting as though my house were still hers. It wasn't. But as long as she kept her actions to those acceptable to any guest, there wasn't a lot I could do to fix it without appearing to be jealous, insecure, or petty. So I'd swallow my first reactions and deal until it was time to set her straight.
Come on in!
Eeeh.
Mary Jo recoiled from Christy's bruise.
You need to have that looked at.
Nothing broken, just bruised, and it'll fade in time. Adam made me go to a doctor. A good thing, too, because Mercy was about to take me to the doctor herself.
An exaggeration, maybe. Mary Jo apparently thought so, too, because she gave me a cool look.
It looks like it hurts.
Christy touched her cheek, then shook her head.
Could have been worse. A man I dated a couple of times turned up dead, and I'm pretty sure Juan is responsible.
Oh, jeez. I am so sorry.
Warren came in. He didn't knock, and thus avoided the chance that Christy would answer the door again so she could make everyone think either that I was using her to do all the menial tasks or make me think she was trying to reclaim her home. Or both at once. Probably she was just doing normal things, and I was being paranoid and jealous. Yes, I was going to have to work on my attitude. Adam kissed the top of my head.
Let's all move to the dining room. I put dinner out there. Is your new wolf coming, Mercy? If we wait much longer, dinner might get cold.
I don't know. Maybe something came up.
Let's eat without him then. If he comes later, he can have leftovers if there are any, or I can make him a sandwich.
There was room at the kitchen table to eat there, but the dining room table had been set with a tablecloth and good china. I wondered if Jesse had set it, or if Christy had done so while Adam and I were up changing. The only time I used the dining room table was on Sunday breakfasts or holidays, when everyone didn't fit in the kitchen. I sat down on Adam's right, and Christy took the seat to his left before Jesse could sit in. Jesse smiled apologetically at me and took the next seat over.
All right, everyone, dig in.
The sandwiches were all cut into triangles and set on a plate in the center of the table. A gloriously beautiful presentation, with bacon cooked exactly right, red tomatoes, and bright crispy lettuce on golden toast. A huge cut glass bowl held a salad and sat next to a plate with homemade croutons. Cloth napkins were folded just so, and there was a vase with the first of the spring lilies from the front flower bed. The whole table looked as though Martha Stewart and Gordon Ramsay had both come to my home to prepare a casual meal for a few friends. Mary Jo took a bite of the sandwich.
Oh, I haven't had a BLT this good since that picnic you had out here that 4th of July. Do you remember? Oh, you made BLTs and carrot cake. I have missed this.
That started a conversation about the better old days that eventually spread to include Adam and even Warren. Jesse met my eyes and grimaced in sympathy. I didn't know if Christy was taking over my home on purpose or by accident, but I had my suspicions. I knew what I would do if someone else had Adam. I might have used fangs or a gun instead of a BLT dinner, but Christy's weapons were different from mine. I did know that the only way to take control back was to be a witch, and that was just another way of losing. Eventually, the good old days talk started to wind down, and Christy turned her attention to me.
Do you like your sandwich?
It is very good. Thank you for making dinner.
Mary Jo gave me a look.
I'd have thought that just having flown in and being hurt, someone else could have cooked tonight, Christy.
That was my job. But Mom said...
I told her that I wanted to make her favorite dinner because I don't get much chance to see her.
Christy looked up. Her blue eyes, Jesse's eyes, swam with tears that she bravely held back.
I know that's my fault. I'm not a good mother.
She wasn't lying. She believed everything that she said. I had to give her credit for accepting the responsibility for what she'd put Jesse through. But the thing was, she was looking at Adam when she said it. Then she looked around the table. She didn't look at Jesse. This wasn't an apology. It was a play for sympathy. I wasn't the only one who noticed. Jesse put her fork down carefully.
Thank you for dinner, Mom. It was good. I'm just not feeling well tonight. I'm going to head up and do some homework.
She picked up her plate and carried it into the kitchen and left us in silence. If I said anything, I worried Christy would make Jesse's leaving or her bad parenting my fault. So I kept my mouth shut. I don't know why no one else said anything.
You see?
Christy spoke as soon as Jesse was out of human earshot.
I don't know why I said that. I knew it would upset her. She doesn't want to hurt my feelings, but she can't lie either.
I'd lived through Christy's drama for a while now. Sorry, Jesse, I know I was supposed to pick you up or you were supposed to fly down, but it just isn't convenient right now, with reasons that varied from new boyfriends to trips to Rio. Work trips, really. I knew that she was good at manipulating people, and still the expression on her bruised face made me feel bad for her.
It's all right, Christy. You'll have time now to fix things between you.
And abruptly, all my sympathy died away, washed away by dismay. Just how long was Christy planning to stay?
I don't know.
Christy's fork played with the remnants of her salad.
I'd like to think so.
Adam patted her on the shoulder. I ate with steady determination that was not helped at all by the fact that the food was good. I could cook anything that went into the oven as long as it had sugar and chocolate in it. Beyond that, I was a pretty indifferent cook. Adam was a lot better than I, but his ex-wife was practically a gourmet chef. She'd made the mayonnaise on the BLTs from scratch.
So,
Warren put his silverware on his empty plate.
If you're through eating, I got some questions about this ex-boyfriend of yours.
She's hurt and tired. Can't questions wait until she's had a chance to recover?
No. We need to deal with him so Christy can go back to Eugene and get on with her life.
Christy turned her wet blue eyes on my husband.
I've been thinking of moving back home.
Shock made the food I had just swallowed go down wrong.
Well, now, I don't know about all that, Miss Christy. Where you live is up to you, but the sooner we get rid of the man who is scaring you, the safer you're going to be. So I'm going to ask you to tell me how you met him and everything you can remember about him.
Christy's eyes got bigger at the solid authority in Warren's voice, and she looked as though she were 16 instead of the over 40 I was sure of.
Okay.
He reached behind him and grabbed the notebook he tossed on the floor when we'd sat down.
Let's start with the first meeting. When and where?
A couple of months ago, early February. I can check for the exact date. My girlfriends and I were out gambling, a weekend in Reno. We'd gone to a show and were finishing up the night with dinner in one of the casinos. There were a lot of people around, and since we do this once a month, there were even a lot of people we knew.
She played with her plate.
This man came up to our table. He was beautiful. Younger than me, in a suit that...
Her gaze flitted to Adam.
You know that blue-gray suit that you had that was so expensive?
Adam nodded, and I found that I was jealous of her memory of seeing him in a suit, even though he wore suits a lot. But I'd never seen him in the blue-gray suit that she was talking about. She kept her eyes on my husband as she continued.
It reminded me of that. Not in color, but in the way it was shaped. He looked expensive, but not in a kept man or I'm going to impress you kind of way. His eyes were bright, and he ignored the others, just looked at me. Tall, golden hair, swarthy skin. Not the warm tones you usually see with South American Hispanics. More like Mediterranean dark. He was big.
Well, how big?
Christy looked at Warren.
Taller than you. Heavier, but all muscle, like a bodybuilder.
Her eyes strayed back to Adam.
He must spend a lot of time in the gym because the only other man I've seen quite that muscular is Adam. And when he looked at me, he saw me, intense.
She looked down and pulled her hands away from her plate.
It was intoxicating, flattering, to be the focus of such power, especially at my age.
She smiled tightly, glanced at me, then away.
I'm not 18 anymore, and he didn't look a lot older than that.
She'd met Adam when she was 18. He'd been older than that, a werewolf already.
He introduced himself, Juan Flores, though he didn't have a Spanish or Mexican accent.
What kind of accent did he have?
She jerked her attention back to Warren.
European, not French, Italian, or German. I didn't know it.
That's not a crime.
Maybe it was a fake accent. I've spent time in Europe and I just couldn't pinpoint it. He had a little British crisp in his English, like he'd learned it in Great Britain. I thought that was why I couldn't pick it out. I didn't even ask before I hopped into bed with him. I am so stupid.
Don't blame the victim. Not your fault you didn't recognize his accent. Not your fault he singled you out.
Adam told me that some of your friends knew him. That's why you felt safe with him.
Christy nodded.
He'd done some business with Jackie, one of my friends. She's a financial officer at National First Bank. Works their corporate and international accounts.
At Warren's urging, she rattled off Jackie's phone number. She also managed a better description of Juan. Warren coaxed her into remembering details about his habits of speech and dress. That he liked dogs and had two hulking dogs that looked enough alike that they must have been a breed. Though she didn't know what. He'd been impressed that she wasn't afraid of them. It was at that point that his desire for a little fun had changed to something more possessive. He'd insisted that she stay an extra day at his expense.
I was flattered at first. Who wouldn't be? A rich, beautiful, younger man who appeared passionately attracted to me.
What changed?
I work.
She did, though Adam supported her. He paid the bills for her condo, her car, her insurance, and her phone bills. He told me once that he felt he owed it to her. I told him that was between the two of them and promised, hand over heart, that I'd never fuss about anything he felt necessary. She worked part-time at a travel agency that allowed her to travel more than she would otherwise have been able to. She put together tours and business meetings, and from what Jesse had told me, she was good at her job.
I had some extra vacation I could take, but I didn't want to use it all. When I told him that I had to go home, he was weird about it. Weird enough that I pretended to agree with him, and while he was in the shower, I left my suitcase, grabbed my purse, and ran. Took a taxi to the airport, where I rented a car and drove home to Eugene.
Did he just show up at your condo after that?
No. He started calling me. I answered the first one. I didn't know it was him. I said too much. But that was the only one of his calls I took until he changed his number. After that time, I only answered calls from people I knew.
I'll need the phone numbers he used.
I have them on my phone. He sent emails, too. I read up on stalkers, and all the advice I found said that I shouldn't respond in any way at all. So I didn't. Then, the presents started to arrive. I order a lot of things online. The first one I thought was a misorder. A red silk scarf. I called the place that had sent it and found out that someone had purchased it in person and had it sent to me. They wouldn't give me the name.
They'll give it to me. Do you still have the address?
She nodded.
On my laptop. I'll go get it.
She pushed away from the table and made an escape, heading up the stairs. I looked after her thoughtfully, then turned to Adam.
I thought she'd be using the guest suite.
She was afraid to be on the ground floor.
I could tell that I wasn't going to be happy about which upstairs room she'd taken. Warren gave him a look that said, I wouldn't be you in a million years, but good luck.
She likes the peach room
in the bedroom next to ours.
Blue makes her sad.
The blue guest room was across the hall and next to Jesse's room. There was nothing to say that needed saying. I stood up, collecting as many dirty plates and silverware as I could. Adam touched my arm.
Mary Jo, if you help Mercy clear the table, I'll grab the tablecloth and toss it in the laundry.
Mary Jo waited until we were in the kitchen, loading the dishwasher to say anything to me.
It's not her fault.
What's not her fault? That Christy attracted a stalker?
Mary Jo's face flushed.
That there's tension between her and Adam. They were a couple for a long time. She called to see if I'd come and defuse the situation so that you'd be more comfortable. She's trying.
I shut the dishwasher and started it.
Yes, she is trying.
I didn't say what Christy was trying. I was pretty sure it wasn't what Mary Jo thought it was. Her eyes narrowed at me.
It's okay to like her. To worry and feel sorry for her, that's all just fine. I want her safe too.
I wiped my hands off on the back of my jeans.
Just be careful, Mary Jo. Be very careful. You've made mistakes before. Everyone makes mistakes. One you should not make is to imagine that Christy will ever be Adam's mate. He is mine, and unlike her, I don't throw away people who are mine.
Mary Jo met my gaze and I held hers, held it until she looked at the floor and tipped her chin, exposing her neck. Jesse had told me about her mother and Adam, back when she'd been too young to know that people shouldn't share other people's pain, and I had been too involved to stop her. Her mother had told Adam he scared her, that the werewolves scared her, and that he smothered her. But I'd always thought that the real trouble between them had a lot to do with Adam's looking younger than she did, which made her attraction to a younger man something to keep in mind. I returned to the dining room and the interested faces of Adam and Warren. Both of them had heard the conversation between Mary Jo and me. But before they could say anything, Christy was back with her laptop. She sat next to Warren and the two of them paged through her email. Adam pulled out his phone and glanced at the number.
I hired a man to watch over Christy's condo. This is he. Altman.
It's Gavin. There's a situation here.
Adam stiffened.
He's there?
No. That is, maybe. But I haven't seen him. I've been watching your wife's, ex-wife's apartment building since about 2 this afternoon. I haven't seen anyone who matches his description, but her building is on fire. You might be hearing some sirens.
Adam's eyes widened. I'm sure mine did, too.
The fire definitely started on her floor, and I'm pretty sure it was set in her condo. I happened to be looking up and saw a flash of color. Flames in one of the windows of her place. I called it in myself. Though downtown Eugene isn't exactly deserted this time of day, so I won't have been the only one. The fire department is fighting it, but it's going up fast. It's been... Shit! Sorry. Pieces of it are falling, and I was a little too close. It's only been 10 minutes, and the whole place is in flames.
I glanced at Christy, who was watching Adam with a little frown that made me realize that she was the only one in the room who couldn't hear the other side of Adam's conversation.
You've told what you saw to the police?
Gave my card to the fireman who's giving orders. Told him I'd seen something. He'll relay. I'm planning on cooperating fully with the authorities.
Of course.
Adam glanced at Christy, who had come to attention at the word police.
They already know that there's a problem. Make sure they make the connections, all right? They have my number, but it might not hurt to give it to them again.
They'll want to talk to her, too.
What's wrong?
Adam held up a finger.
Of course. She's not answering her phone directly. They'll have to leave a message for her to call them back.
Right.
Adam looked at Christy.
I think your stalker just burned down your condo, building and all.
Christy paled.
Did they get everyone out?
It's a big building. There's no way that they could know that this early. They're still fighting it. They'll know more in a few hours, but it could be days before everyone is accounted for.
The war committee continued to discuss Christy's stalker with periodic interruptions from people calling with updates on Christy's home. Adam's investigator told us the whole building was a loss, and then gave Adam a few numbers of people involved in the investigation. Once he figured out that Adam was the famous Alpha Werewolf, the arson guy got almost chatty. He told Adam that they'd have to wait until the building cooled before anyone could be certain, officially, that the fire had been set. But unofficially, his gut instinct was that the fire was arson. The first police officer called shortly thereafter to ask pointed questions about insurance policies, which seemed to imply that the arson investigator had not only shared his unofficial gut instincts with the police too, but also told them that Adam was interested in the outcome. Courteously, Adam told the policeman that Christy had filed a report about a stalker who had assaulted her, and when Adam had recently contacted the Eugene police on the matter, he'd been told that Christy's stalker might also be involved in the death of a man she'd been dating. Adam gave him the phone number of the officer in charge of the Eugene police investigation without looking it up. The information seemed to mollify that police officer, but not the second one who called. None of the calls I'd made concerning Coyote had been returned, but Zach called around 10 and apologized for not showing up.
I found a place to stay for now, and I've got some work too, but it started right away, so I'm kinda stuck. I'll come by as soon as I can.
I understand, but I'd prefer to bring you into the pack as soon as possible, for your safety. My wolves won't bother you, but there are other things running around town that might if you don't have pack protection.
I'm on call this week. I can't afford to turn down hours nohow. I don't know when I can come out.
Let's dispense with the formal ceremony then, and do something quicker. Where are you staying?
The Night Owl in East Pasco.
Okay. My mate and I will be there in about a half an hour. I'll call my second. The three of us will make it official. Meeting the pack can wait until you know your schedule.
This could all wait.
No. I have no intention of letting you run around my city unprotected.
Now, I'll keep an eye on everything here, boss. You go welcome the new wolf to the fold.
Mary Jo, go home. You've helped a lot tonight, but you need to get some sleep before you go to work.
Mary Jo gave Christy a worried look.
Now, I won't chew on her. You go on shift tomorrow at 5 in the morning. Go home, Mary Jo.
I'll see you when you get off work. We can go get a manicure at that place we like in Richland.
Oh, it closed.
I'm sure we can find another shop. Arielle will know someplace good.
Mary Jo grinned.
She will. Are you sure you'll be okay?
Mary Jo, go.
Left with no choice, Mary Jo headed towards the door, but stopped herself just before leaving the room.
Are you sure she'll be safe with just Warren?
Don't be ridiculous. Her stalker set her apartment on fire tonight. There aren't any direct flights, and it's a 6-hour drive from Eugene to here. Even if he came directly to murder her in my home, guarded by one of the toughest wolves I know, Juan couldn't get here before I get back.
Zach's motel was in East Pasco. The Tri-Cities doesn't have really dangerous neighborhoods, but East Pasco comes close. The motel was one of those old ones with little rooms that opened out onto the parking lot. The kind they don't build anymore because they aren't really safe. The big, shiny black SUV garnered the interest of a group of boys hanging out smoking at the edge of the parking lot. They were in that 14 to 16 age category, when men are old enough to feel the testosterone and too young to have acquired common sense.
You sure you want to park that there?
Hey, why don't you just leave that chica with us, gringo? Because we know what to do with bitches like that. She don't need no white meat, because everybody knows white meat is bad for you.
Adam rounded the front of the car, walking until he was next to me. Then he turned his face a little up and out, letting the weak yellow illumination of the motel's parking lot lights hit his features full on. The boys had been advancing in a slow, semi-menacing manner, obviously ready to enjoy running off some poor couple in the wrong place at the wrong time. We'd had some real trouble with gangs in the Tri-Cities a few years back, but except for the serious drug traffickers who were too concerned with money and keeping a low profile to be harassing tourists for being in the wrong neighborhood, most of the gang activity had died down. One of the boys squinted at my husband's face and came to an abrupt halt.
Hey, man, it's okay, all right?
Then the rest of them paused, disconcerted by the about face.
We didn't mean nothing by it, we just having some fun. Right, man? We don't want no trouble with you.
He turned towards his friends without taking his eyes off of Adam.
Hey, it's the werewolf dude. From the TV? Don't you idiots watch the news? Don't screw around with him.
The others turned to give Adam a closer look.
Angler shit? Fucking.
Then they all melted away with fake nonchalance.
They make me feel old.
That's because you are old. He enjoyed backing them down. Come on, old man. Let's go bring our new wolf into the fold.
Before we could, a sleek silver 67 Mustang pulled in next to the SUV, and Daryl got out. Daryl is big in daylight, but the night hides the intelligence in his face and the beauty of his features, which can distract from his size. In the dark, he is huge, and right then he was carrying a tide of irritation that made him even scarier than usual. I thought of the impression Zach had given me in my garage.
Hey, Daryl, if you could back down a bit. This guy isn't Peter, who might have been submissive but wasn't scared of anyone. This wolf is going to take one look at you and run.
Daryl gave me a ticked-off look.
I am not irritated with the new wolf. I'm irritated with you. You are causing me trouble, woman.
Daryl had the kind of voice I imagined a dragon might speak in, if there were dragons, which didn't exist, as far as I knew. I thought Daryl was mostly just grumpy, but Adam backing him off lent Daryl's declaration more seriousness. Daryl tipped his head away from me, but that didn't make him any happier.
What did I do?
You upset Christy, and that upsets Aurelie, who doesn't think that leaving Christy's general well-being to Adam is the right thing to do. I do not enjoy being put in the middle of this.
I upset Christy? When?
This afternoon. You insisted she sleep in the ground floor suite when she has a stalker after her. She's just a little bit of a thing.
Daryl.
I don't know what you are thinking.
He forgot Adam entirely.
Downstairs isn't safe. She's human and in danger from a stalker who, Aurelie tells me, may have already killed a man.
Daryl, I admit I thought Christy would be more comfortable in the suite where she would have her own bathroom. The windows are alarmed and there are werewolves, Daryl, in the house to hear when any stranger approaches, even on foot. In any case, she's staying upstairs, and I didn't object in any size, shape, or form, as I wasn't even home when she got there. I was at work.
Daryl stared down at me, and I met his gaze. He didn't look away, and I finally threw up my hands in exasperation.
No, I am not thrilled by my husband's ex-wife moving into my house and sleeping in the bedroom next to me, but I am not making her unwelcome. I am not putting her in danger, and you know that I'm not lying.
Daryl looked away.
Damn.
That wasn't quite as eloquent as a man with a PhD who worked in a government think tank should be.
She's doing it again. I'd almost forgotten.
I'm doing what again?
It's Christy, Mercy. Christy is doing it again. She has a way of making people worry about her.
And that's the kindest way to put it. You'd think I'd have seen it. I'd have a lot of experience. I'll explain what happened to Aurelie, and she'll realize that she misunderstood what Christy said. And just like the last 10 times she misunderstood, it will end up being my fault, because I should have realized she misunderstood what Christy told her.
A ghost of a smile softened Daryl's face.
My only excuse is that I've had years to forget, and Aurelie is blind to the faults of people she loves. I am the most fortunate man in the world because I am the beneficiary of that blindness. But I forget that other people are beneficiaries too.
Education and brains don't help when dealing with my ex-wife. You aren't wired to see through Christy, and neither is Aurelie. Now, let's go meet—
Zach! I don't know how long Zach had been standing outside his hotel room listening to us, but from the look on his face, it had been long enough. At hearing his name, his face went blank. I led my trio towards him. Zach, let me introduce my husband, Adam Hauptmann, and his second, Daryl Zhao. Gentlemen, this is Zach Drummond.
Hi.
Zach still looked tired and too thin.
Come in, let's get this over with.
Enthusiasm was notable by its absence. Zach turned and walked through the open door of the motel room. Adam followed Zach, and Daryl gestured for me to go ahead. I stepped in and had to fight not to gag. Maybe a human's nose wouldn't have picked up the odors in that motel room. Or maybe it wouldn't have picked up all the odors, maybe. But I didn't think even an asthma patient who hadn't smelled a scent in months could have stayed in that room for longer than 10 minutes without being nauseated. Cigar, cigarette, pipe, and every other substance anyone could smoke permeated the room, along with the smell of sex, urine, feces, and old alcohol. I've heard people complain that there is nothing worse than the smell of stale beer, but that room proved them wrong. Stale beer was the least unpleasant scent in the room. There was also mold, mildew, and mouse. All it needed was a skunk. Neither Adam nor Daryl showed any signs of distress. Zach looked at me and gave me a faint smile.
Beggars can't be choosers.
You can move in with us for a few weeks. As it happens, we have a freshly cleaned bedroom suite that no one is using.
No, I'm sorry, but I'd rather put up with this than... Your house don't sound like a safe place to be at the moment. I don't like pack politics. Them and me don't get along.
Daryl would have said something. Submissive wolves usually do fine in pack politics because, like Christy, no one wants to hurt them. But Adam backed him down with a subtle hand gesture.
That's fine. Welcome to the Tri-Cities, Zach Drummond. Usually we would throw a party to welcome you, and we will. But the constraints of your schedule mean that cannot happen this week. We have vampires in this town, and half-fae, and a host of other denizens of the Forgotten and Hiding, many of which would love to find an unaffiliated werewolf to hunt.
I understand.
Okay. My full name is Adam Alexander Hauptmann. What's yours?
Zachary Edwin Drummond.
Adam shut his eyes and took in deep breaths. Under the circumstances in that room, it was a braver act than it usually was. I could feel the pull of pack magic and felt it gather to his need. My mate opened his eyes and focused his full attention on Zach.
Look me in the eyes with no offense taken or meant, Zachary Edwin Drummond.
Zach raised his chin and met Adam's gaze.
I see you, Adam Alexander Hauptmann, Alpha of the Columbia Basin Pack.
Will you join with us to hunt, to fight, to live, and run?
Under the moon, I will hunt, fight, live and run with you and yours who shall be mine.
We claim you.
Daryl pulled out a pocket knife and opened it one-handed. Adam glanced at me.
We claim you.
I claim you.
Adam took Daryl's knife and cut a chunk of meat the size of the tip of my little finger off his forearm with practice ease.
Alpha's flesh and blood you shall be.
He offered the bloody bit to Zach, who ate it off his fingers. Blood swelled up from the wound on Adam's arm. 4 fat drops fell to the carpet, and then the gouge scabbed over. In less than an hour, there would be no sign of the wound at all. A simple cut would have healed even faster.
From this day forward,
Mine to me and mine. Pack.
Yours to you, mine to me.
This clearly wasn't the first time Zack had performed this ritual. Magic burned in my chest as if someone had set a match there, but it shared that power with the whole pack, who received Zack along with me. Zack got the whole of his end. He wrapped his arms around his chest and sank down on the bedspread. It would have taken more than a jolt of pack magic to make me touch that bedspread. Daryl was made of sterner stuff. He sat down beside Zack and wrapped one of his long arms around the other man's shoulders.
Breathe through it. I know it burns like freaking nitros, but it will be over before you know it.
Better joining than leaving.
But the worst was over, and his muscles started to relax, until he noticed that Daryl was holding him. Daryl saw it too, and released him immediately.
All done.
Daryl stood up.
Now, tell me about this job you have.
I'm washing dishes at a restaurant. It's fine, I've done a lot of dishwashing jobs.
Under the table or over the table?
You're one of those alphas. It's safe. I'm legal and the job is legitimate. Not quite full-time, so I'll have to find another job to get out of this dump. But I can do that. I'm good at finding jobs. I need a pack, not a parent.
It's my job to make sure all the members of my pack are safe and well-fed, so they don't get desperate.
I've been a werewolf a very long time. 130 years, give or take a couple. I'm not going to go out and start eating children.
Good to know. But you aren't sleeping here anyway. Who knows who will break in here and force you to defend yourself? The Marak has been very clear that he doesn't want any wolf put in that sort of situation if it can be helped.
Adam pulled out his phone.
Hey, boss. No killer stalkers or arsonists here yet, but I'm thinking that it might be a good idea to up the number of guards tomorrow, just to make sure Christy's safe.
Maybe Christy hadn't been complaining to Warren about how no one was taking her plight seriously. Maybe Warren really felt that they needed more werewolf guards to protect Christy from her stalker, who was, after all, only human. Maybe.
Agreed. We'll keep four on guard duty until we catch the stalker. I've already set up shifts for tomorrow morning. After that, we'll have to do some scheduling. In other news, Zack, our new wolf, is in unacceptable accommodations. He is working not quite full-time and is probably willing to take on another job for an upgrade from the Night Owl.
I stayed there for a couple of weeks.
He wasn't lying, and he knew that Zack could overhear.
It seriously sucked. How about he comes stay in one of our guest rooms? Wouldn't hurt my feelings to have another werewolf around when I can't be. Now, Kyle just fired our yard crew and was making noises about getting the lawnmower out himself. If Zack wouldn't mind taking on the lawn, I reckon he could have room and board in return till such time as he wants to do something else. Make sure he knows that it's a big yard.
Adam tipped his head toward Zack and raised an eyebrow.
Okay, yes, okay.
Someone should let you know that Warren is third in the pack hierarchy. They should also tell you that he is gay and Kyle is his partner, and Kyle is human.
Zack looked at me.
Someone should tell him that, for sure. I reckon someone should also let him know that Kyle and me aren't looking for a third, and the house is big enough that if he keeps his door closed, he shouldn't need to worry about what other folks get up to in their bedrooms.
And Kyle is pretty snitty if he thinks that you disapprove. He'll do his best to embarrass you.
I'll make sure Kyle knows how much you like him, Mercy.
He knows I love him, but warning the werewolves who go to your house what the situation is so no one gets hurt has been my job from day one.
An uncomfortable werewolf might take a bite that everyone would regret.
As long as no one pees in the corners.
Zack shot a wry look at the corner nearest the door.
It has to be better than this. And as long as everyone is above the age of consent and has enough sense to be able to give informed consent, I could care less what anyone does in their own space.
Kyle and I are over the age of consent in all 50 states. And I reckon I can refrain from peeing in corners, though I don't know if I can be responsible for anyone else.
Daryl was still feeling guilty for yelling at me, because he volunteered to drive Zack over and introduce him to Kyle. When we got home, Warren was still getting information out of Christy, now in the living room. I wanted to go to bed, but if I did that, then Adam would be alone with Christy when Warren left. The minute I figured out that was why I was lingering, I kissed Adam on the side of his neck. And stood up.
I've got to be up at O Dark 30. I'm going to bed. If some pyro decides to arson my house again, make sure I'm up, would you?
I'll try my best.
For just a moment, I had a flashback to Adam, burned horribly and frantic because he thought I was in my trailer. I know. The thought of how badly he'd been hurt momentarily erased my sleepiness.
Merce is a coyote. She'll be okay.
Warren winked at Adam.
I'll just make sure you grab the cat on your way out.
What cat? I don't like cats.
Lock your bedroom then. She can open the doors. If she knows you don't like her, she'll try to follow you everywhere.
So I'd been spiteful, but the look on Christy's face had been worth it. Tomorrow, I'd be a better person. But tonight, I would enjoy my spite. I wiggled my fingers at Adam and headed for bed. Jesse's light was on upstairs. I almost just went to bed. I was seriously tired. And if I hit the hay right that moment, I'd get 5.5 hours of sleep. Instead...
Who is it?
Me.
Come in.
Jesse was stretched out on her bed with school books scattered around and her headphones dangling around her neck. One of the earpieces was caught in the patch of purple hair just in front of her left ear. She didn't look up when I came in.
I'm just heading to bed. You might consider going to sleep sometime before you have to get up, too.
Why did you let her do that to you?
She still wasn't looking at me. She wrote a few numbers down in the notebook in front of her. I shut the door and came farther into the room. I had to pick my path. My nose would have told me if there were any rotting food, but there was sure as heck everything else scattered all over the floor. My room used to look sort of like this before I moved in with Adam. Now I itched to pick up the dirty clothes and throw them in her clothes hamper. After, I dumped out the eclectic collection of stuff already in it.
Do what to me?
She had a cricket bat sticking out the top of the hamper. Why a cricket bat? She didn't play cricket. Not as far as I knew, anyway.
Dinner was my fault.
That jerked my attention back to Jesse, where it belonged.
She wanted to make BLTs, and I didn't see any harm in it until you came home. She was inviting people over, deciding we'd eat in the dining room, and giving orders left and right.
Dinner was good. I've never had homemade mayo before. And your mother is welcome to invite whomever she wishes to dinner, especially if she's cooking it.
Jesse sat up and tossed her pencil on the bed. She wiped her eyes.
You know, you understand people, Mercy. You know how power works. I've seen you with the pack. Why did you let her take control without even fighting back?
I sat down on the bed beside her, without touching her, and gave up my night of rolling in my spite. For Jesse, I could be a better person right now.
Your mom is scared. She invited this handsome prince into her life, and now a man is dead because of it. She had to ask for help from your father after she'd told the world she didn't need him. She had to come here, to the home she built, and know that it isn't hers anymore, that I've taken her place.
She chose that.
I patted her leg. Yes, she did. That makes it hurt more rather than less. I gave her a rueful smile.
I always hate having to relive my mistakes. I don't know about you.
Jesse's expression eased, so I continued to defend Christy.
She's scared, ashamed of how she left both of you, ashamed of how poorly she's filled the role of being your mother. So she's trying to control something. She knows cooking, knows she's good at it.
And you let her do it because you feel sorry for her?
I nodded, glad that she couldn't tell if I lied or not. But I tried not to lie to Jesse any more than I lied to her father. I might make exceptions in the case of their safety, but never just to make myself look better.
That's part of it. I'd like to think that it was the biggest part of it, because that makes me look better. Confident, even. But part of it is also this. Can you see me trying to compete with your mother in the kitchen while she's at her Susie homemaker best? I just look stupid. And that's what she was prepared for.
You gave up control of the house to her and couldn't get it back?
You obviously grew up in a werewolf pack, kid. Werewolves don't know everything. Giving her power down there did not hurt mine. This is not her home, and a dozen gourmet dinners aren't going to change that. If she is scared and needs to feel in control over dinner, I can give her that because I don't have a creep chasing after me. Ultimately, she cannot take over this house because it belongs to your father. And he is mine.
Give her an inch and she'll take a mile.
That may be, but it will be okay. Your mother is a good person. She's a good person. She loves you.
I closed my eyes because I didn't want to say the next bit very much.
She even loves your father still.
I could see it in Christy's body language.
She's a good person, but she is a weak person too. She can't take care of anyone else because she's too busy taking care of herself.
Jesse nudged me.
Go to bed, Mercy.
I got up and stretched. We good? She nodded.
We're good.
I made my way to the door and found Adam holding the wall up outside Jesse's bedroom.
Good night, Jesse. Your mom's already in bed.
Night, Dad.
Jesse dumped the stuff on her bed on the floor with all the other Jesse debris.
Turn out my light, okay?
I hit the switch and shut the door.
How long have you been there?
He put his warm hand on the back of my neck and hauled me to our bedroom.
Long enough to hear you defend Christy to Jesse. So, might I add, did Christy. I sent her to bed after you called her a Susie homemaker because she took offense at that.
I shut our door, closing us in away from Christy. If she heard something she didn't want to tonight, it was her own fault. I turned around and Adam leaned against me, pushing me backward until the wall pressed into my shoulder blades.
You are the opposite of Christy.
I raised my eyebrows.
You don't think I'd ask for help if I acquired a stalker?
His hard belly vibrated against mine.
Maybe. Just maybe, and only if you thought someone else might be at risk. But I wasn't talking about that.
He kissed me until the pulse in my neck jumped against his thumb.
She's too busy taking care of herself to take care of anyone else, you said. And that's about the best description of Christy I've ever heard. You? You are too busy taking care of everyone else to take care of yourself.
He kissed me again, then put his head down to whisper in my ear.
I like your way better.
And then he nipped my ear, slapped my hip lightly, and stepped away.
Morning comes early. Let's get some sleep.
Adam, I hoped Christy couldn't hear. That whole spiel I told Jesse about why I didn't set Christy on her ear tonight, I thought that up later. At the time, the real reason was the second one I admitted to. That I couldn't do it without looking like a vindictive, insecure witch.
I saw. Christy boxed you in and you skated through as gracefully as possible. Don't worry, love, this was just round one, and she had the advantage with that shiner on the side of her face to gather sympathy. My money's on you for the finish.